This is an unrehearsed interview with Mr. Bob Taylor of Maysville, Kentucky, Mason County, on November 1st, 1988. The interviewer is Lynn David. Let's see, Bob, I've known you ever since I've come here, about 4 years. But you were born and raised in Maysville, were you?
Uh-huh.
Where were you born?
In the house right below the school. It's not there now. It was torn down, moved up on the hill. It wasn't torn down, but it moved up on the hill.
Now, when we talk about school, what school are we talking about?
The Maysville High School.
Okay. And there was one right to... If I was facing Maysville High School, where was the house? To the right or the left?
It was to the right down towards Maysville.
Oh.
Well, it'd be down to the left.
Down to the left, toward
uh-huh.
Maysville, there was a house.
Uh-huh.
But that your birthplace has been moved, you say?
Yeah, it's up on the... It's still there up on the hill. They tore down the back of it, and there's four rooms that they just moved on up on the hill when they moved the new road.
Okay, when 68 came through, mm-hmm. they moved that house up. And the Boldens, Rye Bolden lived there.
That's
now?
That's where he lives, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And your old farm. Were your folks from Maysville?
My father was from Murfreesville. My mother was from Maysville.
What was your parents' name?
My father's name was Alec Taylor, and my mother was Florence Fizer.
How many children did your folks have?
Well, I have three brothers and one sister.
Let's see, you got Gordon is your brother.
Sam's the oldest. Mary Dana. And Jean.
Now, are you the youngest of the bunch?
No, I'm the third. I'm in between.
So Sam would be the oldest, then who's
next?
Then Gordon.
Then me.
Then
Mary Dana. Then Jean.
So you boys outstripped the girls, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What, did your grandparents, Fizers, live around Maysville too then?
Yeah, Henry Fizer. He was over there where the place Bill Cropper owns now. That's where Gail is living.
Oh, okay. The old schoolhouse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was over. He had a moving picture show in there at one time. And he had a dynamo that ran the lights, street lights, out in Maysville when they had the boardwalk.
Now, what was the boardwalk?
They had a boardwalk that run on up through town.
On both sides of the street? Or?
No, just on one side.
Wonder why they didn't put it on the other side.
Know. That was before my time, though.
Okay, so now your grandfather, not your father, ran a movie picture show there in the
uh-huh.
in the old school.
Well, no, it wasn't in school. It was in that other building. I think it's been torn down and Bill Cropper built a new.
Oh, where that implement company
uh-huh,
used to be.
Uh-huh.
What was it? The old silent movies that he used to run there.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever hear him talking about it?
I heard my brother talking about it. Older brother.
What do you have to say about it?
I don't know. He just said that it was the first and only moving picture show was ever at Maysville. And it was awful funny because, you know, you couldn't, there was no talking or nothing. You just saw the picture.
Do you have a piano player or an organist to play along with it? Or just?
No, I haven't heard him say anything about that. But,
yeah. And he's the one that had the Delco plant then.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever hear any talk about the Delco?
No, I never heard him say anything about it.
Did you know your grandfather at all?
Yes, uh-huh.
What kind of a man was he? What did he do outside of having a Delco plant in a theater? Did he have another job?
Well, yeah, they had a steam engine and a thrashing machine. They thrashed wheat around different farms. Him and my Uncle Sam Fizer. And my Uncle Sam Fizer lived in Maysville.
So they would take this steam engine out and...
And go around different farms and thrash wheat, uh-huh.
Did you ever see it, or was it...
Yeah, I saw it, uh-huh.
Just the two of them work it, or was there a bigger crew than that?
Well, it's just the two that took care of the steam engine and thrash machine. And the farmers would use their own wagons and horses to haul the hay, wheat up to the thrash machine.
Sounds like your grandfather was a man who was looking to the future, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, he was interested in new modern inventions and things.
But when he left Mays Lick, he moved to Newport. He worked in the steel mill down there.
Was he a young man when he left Mays Lick, or an older man? Or?
Well, he was a janitor over to school, too.
He was a man of many talents.
Mm-hmm. Because after he left there, see, my father took that job over school. And he was...
What do you... stands out in your mind most about your grandfather? Is there, you have a special memory of him?
Well, I was real small when he passed away, but I know he was a... he was a jolly fella. He was a heavy fella. They said for breakfast of the morning he would eat about 7 eggs and 6 or 7 biscuits every morning before he went to work.
Do you remember your grandmother?
Yes, uh-huh.
What was her name?
Remember
his name, Francis?
Alice.
Alice, yeah, Alice Fizer. Uh-huh. Yeah. And she died with cancer. I was real small. I went down there with my mother when she was in bed. That's about all I can remember about her.
Was she there in Newport when she died then?
Uh-huh. They lived in Newport.
Yeah. Now see, how old are you today?
67.
So your father was probably born before the turn of the century. So your grandfather, was your grandfather in the Civil War, or was he born after the Civil War, or you know?
No, I don't know.
You never heard him talk about it at all?
Never heard him talk about it.
Tell me something about your grandfather. What was your grandma? Oh, you said you didn't really remember her, though. What about on the other side, on the Taylor side? Did you know your grandparents?
No, didn't know any of them. They were all dead when I was born.
What was your dad like?
Well, he was a fellow that everybody liked. I know he worked after school and he cut hair, and went around and hung paper, painted. Cut hair, and he sewed buttons on the children's clothes and fixed their shoes. And
did he go from house to house to do all these things, or did he have a place of business that he did them in?
No, he just cut their hair and everything right down in the engine room at the school. And I mean, when they had time, they'd go down there and he'd cut their hair. And didn't charge them anything. A lot of times, if any of them had any money, they'd give them a quarter or something like that. But
yeah,
he didn't charge them anything to do it. They just...
Had he ever worked for a barber, or just something he picked up?
No, he never did work for one. Never did. He cut all our hair. And a lot of people used to come down at the house of evenings and get their hair cut, too.
Did he look a lot like your grandfather, or was he a different...
No, he was a smaller fella than my grandfather. He was.
Did he have many brothers or sisters?
Yeah, he had three. John Taylor and Deck Taylor. And
Dick or Deck?
Deck.
D-E-C-K?
D-E-C-K, huh? Dexter.
Oh, Dexter, okay.
Frank. I knew John and Dexter, but I never did see Frank. He was young when he got killed on a scaffold in Cincinnati, painting. Fell off the scaffold.
Did your dad ever talk when you were growing up about what it was like when he was a little boy?
Well, not too much. He just used to tell about going different places and
kind of places did he go to?
Well, they just went around to different houses.
Just the different houses. I've always heard good things about your dad, you know, from different people in town that
talked about going to different houses, and they had dances and things there.
He liked to dance?
Yeah, oh sure he did. And I had a half-sister, too. Her name was Irene.
Now, was she your mother or your father's child?
No, she was my father's child.
So he had been married. What had happened to his first wife?
Once before that. She died. And then they had a younger boy, Leslie,
mm-hmm.
And he died when he was real little.
Before your dad married your mother? Or?
Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, he had scarlet fever or something. Yeah.
And that was deadly.
Mm-hmm.
In those, what about your mom? Tell me something about your mother.
Well, she worked up at school.
What'd she do?
She worked up at the cafeteria.
So your folks were always connected with the school one way or another, then, weren't they?
And she was the one that made them walk the line.
Did your mother make you walk the line?
Well, right smart.
Right smart. What didn't your mother allow?
She didn't allow much of anything. It was out of the way.
She ever talk about being a little girl? What it was like growing up?
Well,
or any family stories that you can remember?
I don't think when they grew up, they didn't have a whole lot, you know, to do. There wasn't much to do.
What'd your mother's folks do? Were they farmers, or do you know?
Well, my mother's father was Henry Fife.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I got it backwards then.
My father's folks, I don't know what they did. I guess he was farmers.
You were, if I'm right in my addition, you were born around 1921, right?
1920.
Uh-huh. So you weren't very old when the Depression hit, were you? About 10 years old? Do you remember anything about it, or anybody talking about it, or how it affected your family?
Well, I don't think it hurt us too much, because we had about as much then as we always did, I mean. No, we never had too much, but we always had something to eat.
Yeah. Did your mother raise a garden?
Yeah, they raised a garden.
Did she have a milk cow?
Well, back before I was born, I think they milked a couple of cows. But after I was born, they never had a cow anymore. And they used to have a cannery up at the school.
What do you know about that cannery? I haven't heard, been able to find out too much about it.
Well, I worked in it for a long while.
Oh, you did?
Uh-huh.
You're just the man I wanted to talk to then.
Well, they had my father worked in there too, and then the home ec teacher.
And the school girls. Yeah, home ec girls.
The farmers, their wives would bring corn and beans and tomatoes. They made apple butter. They put it in regular cans like you buy at the store, and they had a sealer there that sealed the cans.
Okay, now you're talking about making apple butter. Did the women make the apple butter and then bring it in to be canned, or did they make the apple butter there?
They made it right there.
So they
had apple peelers that peeled the apples.
Now, did the girls and your mother and you, did you all make it, or did the women who brought the things in make it?
The women that brought the things in made it. I just helped take care of the cookers, you know, where they put the cans in after they filled them up, and would take the cans out of the cookers and put them in this water to cool them down for them.
So you put it into the cans cold and then cook it after it was in the cans, or? Explain it to me. I've never seen one work. How does it work?
Well, yeah, they just fill up the cans and
I'm going to bring you in about a bunch of corn, and I want to can it. What happens to my corn?
Well, the people would do the shucking and everything themselves. Okay. And then they would cut it off the cob.
I'd do that right there at the cannery.
Right there at the cannery.
Okay.
And then put it in the can, and you put all these cans in the, they seal them first, and then put all the cans in the cooker. They had three or four big cookers in there that you could put.
What did a cooker look like?
It was a big round container that had a lid on it, just about like any other cooker, and had a gauge on top of it. And when you get the steam up in it, why, the gauge would run up to about 40, 45. And you'd cook it there for about maybe an hour, and then let the steam out and take the cans out of the cooker.
Now, what if, say, Francis brought in some corn the same time as mine? How would you know whose corn was whose?
Well, everybody took care of their own.
Each of them would be in separate cookers.
Yeah, and they
then?
Put their names on top of the cans.
Before they cooked it?
Uh-huh.
How would you put the names on?
They had some kind of a thing they wrote it on there with. Marker.
And the steam and the, wouldn't take that off
no,
of there?
No, it didn't.
So I would mark on mine Lynn's corn. Francis would mark Francis's corn, and we could throw it all in the same steamer, and it wouldn't make any difference.
But no, they didn't do it that way. They would cook their own stuff in the
one cooker. When you come in, sign your name, and if you got your food ready before the other fella, yours went in the cooker first, the pressure cooker, and you just put your initials. I put FT on mine, and I'd write corn on it so I know what it was. And then, but they put everybody's over in this big water.
In the concrete bath there to help the water.
Yes, and everybody would go in there, and then you could tell whose was whose when you took it out, you know.
Okay, now what would you charge me to make my corn up?
They just charge for the cans.
You know how much the cans cost?
For about 8 cents and quarts, 10, I think.
I think you charged 10 cents per quart.
Did you get a part of that, 10 cents, for helping in there, or?
No. They just paid me so much for working that.
You remember what you got paid?
Very little.
Well, 10 cents a quart. How long would you work in there in a day?
Well, I just worked somewhere when I was going to school, and they just canned on Fridays and Saturdays, you know.
Oh, okay.
After school on Fridays.
Now, the thing that the cans, to put the lids on it, was it a hand-operated machine, or was it an electric machine that they used, or?
Well, first they had a hand-operated. You just put the can on and turn the crank on it. And later on they got one was electric.
Yeah. Now, while my corn's cooking and everything, I'd have to stay there, wouldn't I?
No, you wouldn't have to.
Did a lot of them leave, or would they just...
They'd leave and come back from about the time they knew it was going to be ready. If they didn't have anything else to can, a lot of them bring corn and beans the same day. Some of them stay there all day.
So it also would be a place for women to meet, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And to visit.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of them get done and help the other people, you know, get theirs ready.
Sort of a modern, what, corn husking or quilting bee, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Lynn, I was going to tell you, is it all right?
Yeah.
When you take your apples in, all you'd have to do would be wash them and cut them up and take the core out. Because after you cook them, then you run them through this strainer-like thing, and your peeling would go one way, and your applesauce would go the other. So you didn't have to peel your apples if you were making applesauce or apple butter or whatever.
So, would they have, how many stoves did they have in there?
They didn't have any stoves. These pressure cookers they had.
Would literally cook whatever you whatever you did.
And you put your apple butter in there, put your sugar and your cinnamon and stuff, and it would just cook it down just as thick and nice as you please.
Wouldn't it be sort of hard to figure out how much cinnamon and sugar you would need for each can? Or
yeah, you just sort of have to, guess at it. You could easily put up 6 bushel apples in one day. We had.
Yeah. Okay, now, on the apples then, we have to get this straight, guys, because I've never seen this done. I have some apples, and I want to make applesauce. Would I put so many apples in a can and add so much sugar and cinnamon to that can?
Well, usually what we did, we didn't put any sugar in ours at all when we made the applesauce. We just waited until we opened it, and then we sweetened it.
So you would just... put in the apples, And that would be, the cooked apples would be. Mm-hmm.
You'd cook all the apples, then put them in the can.
Yeah. But you wouldn't add cinnamon or sugar in the can, just straight apples.
Well, see, it was government. A lot of the machinery and everything was furnished by the government, too. They put that stuff in there. You didn't cost you anything, but just paid for the can.
Are we talking about state government or federal government?
I don't know. I reckon the state government.
Because
there was several canners around. There was one at Orangeburg and one at Mays Lake, one at Minerva.
What happened to the cannery? Why did it go out? I mean, the school lasted longer in the cannery portion, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. They said the cans was going to cost them so much that they couldn't afford to operate it, I guess, is what they said. And keep the machinery up and everything. It's going to cost too much.
Was there much trouble with stuff not being properly canned and people getting sick off of it? Or?
Oh, no. I never did hear of anybody getting sick.
Well, it'd be sure a lot better than using glass jars and washing them all the time, wouldn't it?
It was just as good as what you get out of store, too.
Yeah.
And make vegetable soup.
It's
delicious. You can cook the meat at home and take it in, or you just make it plain and then you open it by cooking meat.
Add to your vegetables.
So it was really handy.
You said the home ec teacher was head of it. Do you remember who that was?
Lorraine McKinney. And then the agriculture teacher, he had something to do with it. I don't remember his first name, but
when I was there,
his last name was Hudson.
Mr. Hudson.
Phil Hudson.
Philip?
Mm-hmm. Lorraine McKinney.
I've heard of the, you know, cannery was something totally new to me until I moved to Mays Lake, but they were popular then. I mean, it wasn't that unusual. Are we talking, what, 30s, 40s, 50s?
40s.
In the 40s?
Well, that's when I was there.
I don't think it was there but about 6 or 7 years worth.
I really don't know how many years it was there.
But it didn't start until in the 40s then, sometime in the 1940s? Well, that would have helped with the war effort, too, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know. Did anybody can and sell the things, or was it supposed to be only for home use?
Just for home use.
So no one went in and used it and then would go out and sell it?
No.
Yeah. You were going to, I'm going to backtrack, but I thank you for the information on the cannery, because I just haven't been able to. Is there anything about the cannery I ought to know, or you remember any funny stories that happened there?
I don't remember any stories.
You can hear a lot of stories while you're in there.
Did a lot of men come into the cannery too, or was it mostly women that used it?
Mostly women, but some men come and help them get the stuff ready, the can.
Well, I think that was great. I really, you know.
It was nice.
Yeah. Where was it located up at the school?
It was between that shop. It was right beside of the shop.
What, a woodworking shop?
Right onto it. Uh-huh. That's where there's a department in that shop right now. That brick building that sits up back there, that's not.
Okay, that was the
shop.
That
was shop, uh-huh.
And then the cannery was a building.
Right to the side of it.
Uh-huh. And it's gone now.
It's gone now.
Okay. I know, between the teacherage and the high school.
Yeah, that other little building over there was a garage. And it's an apartment, too.
Well, I'd take a look. I knew about the brick building. I can't remember the place the other one.
A lot of teachers stayed away at the teachers. Yeah.
Was it all women teachers that stayed at the teacherage? They never had any men that lived there.
No. Well, the principal and his wife lived downstairs.
And then did they cook meals for the women who lived there, or did everybody fend for themselves? Or?
Well, the teachers cooked their own meals upstairs there.
They had their own kitchen upstairs?
They all ate together, uh-huh. And then they had a living room downstairs. The teachers had one to themselves. if they have a date or something, why they just use this room downstairs.
Oh, they were allowed to date?
Mm-hmm.
They have a curfew when they had to be in?
I don't think so, no.
I'm going to go back a little ways. We started talking about your family. What was it like growing up in your family? What do you remember about being a young boy?
Well, I was a little fella in the family. And I remember they all used to pick on me because I was small, I reckon. I don't know. They used to roll me down the hill in a tire.
Whether you wanted to or not?
Well, I'd get in it. And in the wintertime, we used to have a good time. We used to sleigh ride down that hill over across from the schoolhouse. Even all the school teachers would come out there and sleigh ride with us.
Over where the big house is on the hill?
Uh-huh.
That'd be a good hill to go down.
We'd just go right across the road and sleigh ride down that hill.
Yeah.
Whenever we'd get cold or anything, why somebody'd run in the creek, why our dad let us have the key to unlock the engine room and go in and get warm, then we'd go back out. And we made trucks and things out of wood. I reckon that's the reason I got so I could make this stuff I'm making now.
Did your dad make a wagon?
He made a wagon that looks just like a big farm wagon. And we used to haul, we had to haul all our water from the schoolhouse. We didn't have a cistern or anything, didn't have any water down at the house. We hauled all of our drinking water down on it. We had a big garbage can. It was new, and we set it up on this wagon and pulled it down the hill.
Yeah. It'd be quite a chore, wouldn't it, with that many kids? I mean, you'd have to haul quite a bit of water, wouldn't you?
We'd haul quite a bit. We had a big tank out behind the house. We caught water off the roof to wash clothes and things in.
That'd be nice and soft water.
Long enough that you all could sit on it and ride down the hill.
Oh, yeah, we could ride that wagon.
Mm-hmm. So your dad was handy, too, then?
Uh-huh.
As a bill, your dad was just an all-around sort of fellow, wasn't he?
I remember the first bicycle we had, we didn't have money to put tires on it. We took a water hose and stretched around the water hose just fit in there and wired it together and roofs like that.
I think a water hose is a pretty good idea. Had you seen somebody else do it or just come up with
no,
it?
No, we just came up with it ourselves. It worked just fine.
Where'd you get your bike?
It was an old one that Charles Craig had. He gave it to us. And we all rode it.
Did you fight over taking turns?
No, we didn't do too much fighting.
Your mom pretty well kept all of you.
She kept us pretty straight.
Yeah.
I remember when they built the gym.
Oh, you do? Well, hang on a minute. Let's turn this tape over.
Start it now.
Mm-hmm. Now, what'd your mother do to you? You were just telling me while I was turning the tape.
I'd crawl up, she'd get after me, and I'd crawl up in the corner under the bed, and She'd say, you can stay there. She couldn't get out to get me. She said, you can stay there, but when you come out, I'll get you. So when I came out, she did get me.
Would your dad ever get you? Or did he leave that up to your mom?
I don't think he ever did whip any of us. He left it up to my mom.
Made her the heavy.
And he is just like his father.
You say you remember when the gym was built.
Yeah, they started building a gym in 1928. And I had a cousin got killed on a scaffold at the gym. They built a scaffold up at the back, and I had a cousin. Got killed July the 14th, 1929.
What was your cousin's name?
Gene Taylor. I think he was about 18 years old at that time.
Mm.
And there was an Indian and another young fella got killed on the same thing.
Building the high school gym?
Mm-hmm. It was a storm came up, and they told them not to go back up on there, but they did. And the wind blew it over. And
so they were all three killed at the same time then?
Well, my cousin died that night, and this other boy, he died the next day, and the Indian lived for about 3 days. Because he jumped from the scaffold and and it was it went clear up to the top of the building. They landed way down in the field.
I didn't know anybody had ever been hurt, you know, building that.
Yeah, then three got killed on it.
Do you remember any of the other guys' names that were killed?
No. I think this other boy was from Maysville, but I don't remember his name.
Yeah. Now, whose son was Gene?
John Taylor. He was my...
It was John's son.
Uh-huh. He's my father's brother's son.
Yeah. What other memories you have of Maysville?
Well, I remember when there was five places you could get gas. And there was five grocery stores. Most of them sold groceries, dry goods, and hardware too. There was one hardware store.
Is that Painter's, or was that another one?
That was Jim Williams.
Jim Williams. Now, where was that?
Ran it. It was right across from where the store that's open is up there now. It's the one at Ruth Painter.
Okay. Jim Williams owned that one.
Well, at one time, Charlie Collins and Jim Williams both owned it. And then Jim Williams bought Charlie Collins out. And then Charlie Collins ran the funeral home.
Yeah.
Above. And there was two doctors there at one time, Dr. Yancey and Dr. Davis.
We ever have any other doctors in town besides those
no,
two?
No, that's all it was ever there. After they... Mm. I guess both of them died there, too. And I had, I remember I had asthma when I was young. Well, I had it when I graduated. And Dr. Yancey used to come down to the house and give me a shot. Sometimes he'd get up and come down with his night clothes on. He'd just put his overcoat on over top of them. And I know he even pulled teeth from my dad.
Oh, he did?
Mm-hmm.
So your doctor was also your dentist, huh?
Yeah, he had his faucets were rusted, but he pulled a tooth anyway.
Hmm. Well, doctors in that time wouldn't make house calls, wouldn't they? Did you have a phone to call him, or did somebody have to go up and get him, or?
They'd have to go get him. We never did have any electric lights at our house till after we built the gym. My oldest brother carried water and took the money and wired the house. And we had one of those Aladdin lights that we used to study by. It made a real good light, and we used it to study by. And
Well, that was pretty much the rule in that time, though, for Mays Lake, wasn't it? I mean, and like not electricity and having to carry your water in. Most of the homes were like that, weren't they? Or
well, most of the people had waters. They had wells or cisterns, but they never did. We wanted to pipe the water down from the school. We was going to do the piping ourselves if they'd buy the pipe, but they wouldn't do it.
Did the school own the house, or?
Well, the county did.
The county owned your home?
Belonged to the county board, you know. Same as the school belonged to the county.
Oh, I see. So for your dad's work, he was given the house then?
Uh-huh. And we built, he built more onto it all the time. He built two rooms on the back and kitchen and dining room. And when they moved it, they had to tear them down because they was built right on the ground.
Oh, okay. Yeah. How many rooms, when you were growing up, though, you said they built a kitchen and dining room, but how many rooms when you were a little boy?
Well, he built both those rooms before I was born. There were six rooms in the house.
Did you all celebrate holidays when you were growing up?
Well, not too much. We never did have a whole lot for Christmas. A lot of times if you get an apple and an orange or a banana and some candy or something like that, you thought you were doing good. And most time they usually sold fireworks up at the store up in Mays Lake. And I know on the 4th of July we used to get some shooting crackers. Shoot those.
Do you have a Christmas tree at Christmas time?
Yeah, we always had a Christmas tree.
What kind of decoration do you have on it?
We usually pop popcorn and put on a string and made some decorations of our own. And back then, my Uncle John, he lived right over next door, and my brother run a wire over to their house and run over to ours, and he fastened a can on each end of it.
Yeah.
And put a bell over there with a string on it. We could pull the string and ring a bell, and they'd run up in there, and we'd talk to each other across that.
Those worked pretty good.
Worked real good. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And he made made a crystal set.
Oh, he did.
For a radio, uh-huh. You could, you had to use headphones with it. And we used to. You could get one station on it.
What station was that?
I reckon it was WLW back then. That was about the only station that was strong enough to come in on that.
Where was WLW located?
In Cincinnati.
In Cincinnati?
Mm-hmm.
What was your favorite program to listen to?
Well, I used to listen to a lot of country music on it. I mean, I remember little Jimmy Dickens was on there when I used to listen. I know before we got a radio that was any good, my brother used to go up to school and had his radio up there, and he'd go up in there and listen to some kind of stories on there, and a lot of them would be scary, and a lot of times he'd be afraid to come out of school and come home.
Because he'd scare himself to death.
Well, he'd get up in that school at night, and there'd be a lot of cracking and stuff going on. And
did you ever go up with him and listen?
Not too often.
So really, as far as you kids were concerned, the school was just an extension of your home, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we used to go up and play basketball up in the gym after got it finished, and we all mowed the yard up. We had push mowers, and they had three mowers, and we'd all mow the school ground yards up there. We kept those mowed. We all helped my dad sweep, too. After school was out, we'd all have to get a broom and sweep. A lot of times, he would go down and cut somebody's hair, and we'd do the sweeping. And after they left, after my other two brothers left, I was still there, and a lot of times I swept the school by myself.
Girls never helped?
No, my sister never did. sweep any, I don't think.
So you started school at Bay's Lick and graduated from there. And what year did you graduate then?
1939.
Right before the war.
And all the children graduated from there. After I graduated, I was examined for the war, but I didn't pass on account of I had asthma. And I had one spell after we got married. That's the last one I had.
Outgrew it then.
Well, it used to be real bad. I had to sit up in a chair 3 or 4 nights at a time to get my breath. I couldn't lay down.
Well, they really didn't have any medicine to control that either did they?
Well, Dr. Yancey gave me some kind of a shot. A lot of times he'd give me a little shot of morphine to put me to sleep. And then I started coming down here to Dr. Cardinal, and he said I would outgrow it.
Thank goodness you did.
Mm-hmm. I know one time I came down there, they brought me down there at night. They had to carry me out and put me in the car, and he gave me 6 shots, 3 in each arm, in about 5 minutes in between each shot.
Yeah.
And when I got back home, I beat the rest of them in the house.
God, I bet that made your folks feel good.
Fixed me up. Sure did.
What kind of car did your folks have?
They never did have a car.
Oh, you said they put you in the car.
Well, my half-sister's husband was up there. They were up there visiting. And he took me down in his car.
What'd you do after you graduated from high school, Bob?
Well, I started working over at Deesher's store when I was in the 11th grade. I'd just go over at dinner, and a lot of the kids used to go over and get sandwiches and something to drink, and I'd go over about 10 minutes ahead of time, have to fix sandwiches. Then after school, I worked over. And I worked there for about a year after that. I was opening up, and when I went to work that morning, the store was on fire.
It was on fire?
Uh-huh.
What happened, you know?
Well, he set it on fire, I'd say, because he came up there that morning with and went in, and when he went back home, he took 3 grapefruit and a loaf of bread, and he took them in the house and put them on the table, and then he went on up to the back to a little building, and he took rat poison. And he come back to the house, and his wife said, the store's on fire, and he said, I know it. And they said he died the awfulest death you ever saw. Said it took 3 or 4 to hold him in the bed. And the store burnt completely down.
You know why he set it on fire?
Well, he always sat around, and he said he didn't want the Germans. He thought they were coming over here, and he didn't want to leave anything for her to fool with, so he was afraid they'd get it, so he just set it on fire.
Why would he think the Germans were going to be in Kentucky, you know?
Well, he was in the war, and
World War II, or?
See, that was back in
or World War
'41.
So he had been in Europe during World War I then?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
And I know they said he used to go to Shannon, that's where his folks lived, and he used to sit around that rock quarry a lot of times when he'd go over there. A lot of times they'd find him. They thought maybe there he was fixing to drown himself.
So he'd had problems then?
Uh-huh.
Did you ever have any problems with him in the store, or did he seem all right?
No, he was pretty tight, I know that.
Are you telling me you didn't make much?
No, I didn't make very much there.
What was Mr. Disher's first name?
George. He had a real nice store, though.
Where did it sit?
It was right across from Schwartz's there, where Gail lives there now. Where,
right.
There's a little concrete block building there now.
Oh, and that's where Disher's place was. Uh-huh.
It was an IGA store.
Mm-hmm. That's sad, isn't it?
I know. I opened the door, and a lot of people said we ought to go in there and get some stuff out. And you could smell gas in there, too. I reckon he must have cut the gas line and run to the meat counter, meat box.
Yeah.
So I just closed the door back up and locked it.
Let it burn.
Said let it burn. And it did, too. It all burned down. And after that, I went to Mays Lick and worked for Pete Craycraft and Herman Reeves.
What'd they do?
They run that store on the corner there.
And where Holman's run it now? Holman's?
Uh-huh. And I worked there for 2 or 3 years, and then they sold it to Ike Mason. And I worked for him there for about, must have been about 16 years or something like that, or 17.
What'd you do for Ike?
I run the store, mostly myself. He'd go to Cincinnati and get the groceries and stuff. And then when they sold the tobacco, he would be down on the market collecting the money. A lot of people charged by the year.
Charge their groceries?
By the year, yeah.
So he would come down to Maysville to the market?
When the tobacco market opened, well, he'd come down to see how tobacco was selling. Be sure to get his money, too. Because a lot of them had a big bill.
I guess so, if they were charging by the year.
Yeah, a lot of them bought cigarettes.
How could he operate with that much cash not coming in?
Well, he borrowed a lot of money from the bank.
Then he'd pay it back when the tobacco mm-hmm. crop was sold?
So that's when he had to.
Yeah.
But it was back in, when he did that, it was back in good time when he had that, because most people, if the tobacco sold good, they'd pay. We never did lose a whole lot. But, you know, if they had big hospital bills or something, a lot of them would have to pay part of it and wait till the next year.
He didn't mind carrying them?
No, we knew just about who to carry. So I done a lot of the buying at the store and everything while he was.
He carried more in groceries too, didn't he?
He did what?
I said he carried more in that store than just groceries,
oh, yeah.
Didn't he?
He had hardware. And we sold dry goods and shoes. And
people sit around in there then like they do now?
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of people at nights in the wintertime that come back in there and sit down. And
I bet you heard some good tales in there, didn't you?
Oh, a lot of them.
Remember any of them?
About the shoe salesman.
Yeah, I remember that. Some fella came in there one day. He was some kind of a foot doctor. And I sat down there in a chair, and this fella cut a thing off his foot. And wasn't too long, but it came back, and it's about, must have been about 3 or 4 years after that, this same fella came back in there, and he walked back there. I was standing under the stove, and he asked me, he said, is Ike Mason around here? I said, wait just a minute. Ike walked back with the stove. He said, who's you looking for? And he said, Ike Mason. Oh, she said, no, he's not around here. Said, he's up in the cemetery. Said, some foot doctor come along about 3 years ago and cut something off his foot, and he died. And this fella went out the side door just to fly.
I never returned, huh?
Never did come back.
I bet that gave everybody a good laugh. Remember any other stories connected with the store?
I remember before they said that Tom Hopper run that same store. That was before, way before that, Di Collins and his wife run it. Then Tom Hopper ran it before that. And I remember there was a bunch of people in the store there, and Tom Hopper or somebody come back to the big stove and threw some, he had some powder in his hand, and he threw it in the stove, and it must have been something like that you put in a firecracker, and it, he said he was going to blow the place up. We flew it in while fire flew out it. Some of them got hung in the door trying to get out.
Oh, shoot.
We even sold feed and salt and stuff when I was there for, to the farmers for their, we bought walnuts.
Was the store bigger than it is now?
No, it was the same size.
Where'd you put all that stuff?
Well, we used upstairs too, see? There's an upstairs there, and they don't use it for anything.
No.
And we used that back room for the feed and stuff. And I remember at one time when I first started working there, they had vinegar by the barrel, and we weighed up all of our beans and coffee, and we'd get it in 100-pound bags and weigh it up in pound bags.
Bet the store smelled good, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. And back then you could get loose cookies too. They were real good. Had a lid went down over the box, and it was glass that would open up.
So you could sell cookies one at a time, or by the pound, or?
Yeah, they did sell them one at a time, or by the pound.
What kind of cookies were they, do you remember?
I remember those big chocolate, marshmallow in the center, big chocolate. You get, and then they had white ones and chocolate ones, and yellow and pink ones. Mm. I believe they were a lot better than them you buy now. They were real fresh when they come in. I'd have to, as soon as I opened the box, I'd have to eat one.
I was going to say, did you sample?
We even got vinegar in the barrel. And
what would anybody do with a barrel of vinegar?
Molasses in the barrel. And they'd bring their own jar, and we had a wooden pump set on the top. You'd pump them out a quart. A lot of them would bring their jar and get a quart of molasses.
Did you have to pump it the same way?
Uh-huh.
I think it'd get stuck in there, wouldn't it?
Well, it... I don't remember if it ever sticking.
Yeah.
A lot of times we had a different pump that had a crank on it. The pump in the vinegar was just a wooden one. You pump up and down like the crank. This crank you turned. We'd get a barrel of New Orleans and a barrel of sorghum.
Now, what's New Orleans?
That's molasses, too. It's something like, well, now you can buy it in a jar. It's Briar Rabbit.
Okay, yeah.
And it, I think there's three different kinds of green label and a red label and a yellow label.
Yeah.
But there's one label that's real dark. But that's what New Orleans. A lot of people make the sorghum anymore, but I don't know if anybody makes any New Orleans label.
I buy the sorghum from around here. I like it.
I got a quart of that the other day when I was up at the Maislick.
Yeah.
To buy some pen too.
Yeah, they make good sorghum. They, mm-hmm. That family does. Did you ever hear any ghost stories about Maze Lick?
No.
Can't get any good ghost stories
never
out of
never did hear of any houses was haunted.
Well, you'd think there'd be at least one around, wouldn't you?
I know we used to be kind of scared when we went by that. They used to have a shoe cobbler. There. His name was Othie Bence.
Where'd he live or work?
It was a building below the pool room. And you know the house below the pool room. And it was a building built in there back over that little hill from off of the road.
Yeah.
There was a building there, and he fixed shoes there. And he used to drink a lot, and smoked, and he went to bed in there and was smoking a cigarette and caught the place on fire, and it burned down. He burned up in it.
Ooh.
And I know we used to walk by there, and we'd be scared. Somebody said, there's both events coming out of there, and we'd take off running. We just think we saw him. And I know my Uncle John used to live right down the road a little piece. There was a house there over on the right. There was a house there where he lived, and then there was a colored church right below it.
That's where the Methodist church was, wasn't it? Was it a Black Methodist church?
Black Methodist church, huh?
Yeah, okay, I know the spot.
And my uncle lived in a house right there, too. Mm. And I know we used to go up there at night and sit out on the porch and listen to the colored people sing over there.
Now, was that house and that church built up on stilts, like, or?
Uh-huh. Well, the house had a kitchen downstairs. It wasn't on stilts, but the church was built up on stilts. In the house, I know it had a room downstairs, and you had to walk up the steps upstairs to outside to get upstairs.
You know anybody's got a picture of that house or that church?
I don't know.
Is there just the two buildings there in that?
That's all that's there. Just the two buildings.
What happened to those two buildings then?
I don't know whether they tore those down or... I guess they must have tore them down.
Well, Bob, I've enjoyed this afternoon.
Well, I have too.
Yeah, you've told me a lot.
Been real nice.
Yeah, it has been. I've enjoyed being here. Think of something else that you'd like to tell me? We're about out of tape, but...
I think that's the way I got Frances, too. I was working in the store, and she came in, and I gave her a great big ice cream cone.
And that was it, huh?
That was the beginning.
I think that was it.
Give her an ice cream cone, she'd just do anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I was going to school, and we had a home ec, and he would go home for lunch. And he would go down in his little black car and stop in front of the house. He'd get out and just run in the house just as hard as he could go. He wouldn't be in there very long. Here he'd come back running the same way, you know. We'd watch him. And I said, if somebody said, then you're going to marry that guy. I said, oh, you're crazy.
And you all been married how many years now?
37.
37 years. Well, yeah. I think we're out of tape. But I thank you.